I was looking over a little bit about the three planes that Christians may live. And this is a very old book or booklet. And just before we had this incredible transformation, I was telling Peggy and Gail we needed to have these printed. And so I'm just going to read a couple of things from this. I think it may be helpful to give you a little bit of an awareness of what God, I believe, is trying to do with us. It's just a little piece that I want to read to you. The mind of the flesh is revealed by the works of the flesh. These works are set forth in Galatians 5. Now, the works of the flesh are plain, and you could go on and repeat them, but you all know them. In addressing the Corinthians, a people who pride themselves in their spiritual gifts, watch the word pride themselves, in their spiritual gifts, St. Paul mentions that he could not speak to them as spiritual people, but as carnal. We read, "But I, brethren, could not address you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh or men of the flesh, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving like ordinary men?" You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. The apostle did not say that the Corinthians were not Christians. Did you hear me? But he made it crystal clear that they were living on the carnal plane, still motivated by the spirit of envy, strife, jealousy, and dissension. The same is true of all those whose lives are governed by these works. While the Corinthians considered themselves spiritually wise and matured, notice they thought they were wise, they thought they were mature, but they were babes in Christ, behaving like self-willed children, who, when they cannot have their own way, become mean, spiteful, and vindictive. Another aspect of the carnal Christian, not readily recognized, is found in the Epistle to the Hebrews. For even though a person may not be envious or jealous, the flesh also manifests itself by a person's attitude. The writer to the Hebrews told his readers, "You have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is still a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their fat, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil." That's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. You see, when the Lord started working on me with that particular scripture was in 1986. I had a father figure in my life named Royal Cronquist, and that was his one of his favorite scriptures, where he would say, "You're not learning to do anything from your brain. because everything you're going to produce from your brain will keep you as a child. Everything that you perceive from what you've learned in a book, even the Word of God, is not going to bring you to maturity. You're going to have to be aware that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. That's discernment of spirits. And you'll find that in 1 John. He goes on. Here, the childish behavior of these Christians was due to their having become dull of hearing. Their insensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit was having an adverse effect on their spiritual life. It was preventing their spiritual senses from being developed in order to distinguish good from evil. It was also preventing them from being weaned from milk, elementary teachings, and from receiving the solid food of the word needed for spiritual growth. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with us? A lot. Excuse my sniffer. As I was pondering on this, I said, Lord, what do you want me to share that will help to comprehend some of this? So he brought me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, St. Paul is saying, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. So he wasn't showing off. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words that you could have learned or gained from all kinds of education, even though he had the best of teachings in that category. He didn't use it. But with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. I was reminded the other night of the response that came through John when my sister from Oregon was having a difficulty in her heart. And the pressure was so strong. And you all watched as we stopped what the darkness was trying to do to her. And we interceded and commanded that darkness to leave. It was a relief. When I talked to her last week, I double-checked to see how she was doing. She's got a smile on tonight. I think that's a testimony enough. Now, I was also nosy about what happened on Sunday. Because in the setup that I had on Sunday was I was watching. Peggy was in the top corner and I was below her in that little square. And I kept hearing in my heart, she needs prayer. Well, I could have reasoned out what I learned in school to ever interrupt. Or I could listen to the Holy Spirit and say, Peggy needs prayer, stop. And you all lifted your hands and we interceded And I double checked the next day and I learned that there was a victory to a degree. Not maybe complete, but a change took place. The scripture says, pray for one another that you may be healed. When you pray for one another, the wisdom of this world from CNN and NBC and ABC and many other stations would say, these are idiots. And I've watched how they speak against our vice president. I've watched what they say about our president. And they have no clue of the damage that they are actually bringing upon themselves if they don't change. Now, verse 6 says, wisdom from the Spirit. He says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Verse 10 is very important. Most people just declare, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and they leave it right there. But it doesn't leave any room for doubt when you read verse 10. God has revealed it to the Corinthians and to the house of prayer. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, and that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. Now, how much more do you want to be spelled out? It doesn't say that you cancel out human wisdom, but you got to put it in a different category if you think that you're mature. The maturity he's calling for is our relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son, and where that harmony is consistent, so we get downloads from him. So we're not trusting with what we've learned up here. Or like I used to do, I did something under the anointing and then I would duplicate it, hoping for the best results that I had seen before. And the Lord told me I was trying to put him in a box. He does not like being put in a box. He jumps out every time. He may do a healing for you and through you and with you in a certain way with one individual, and it'll be totally different for someone else. He may have you lay hands on someone. He may have you slap somebody. You say, oh, come on, Kim. I'm not kidding. When you're under the anointing, you're going to obey and do what the Spirit within you says. Not that I want you to go out and start slapping people, but I can tell you this. When the anointing of God is on you and you gently press in, the Holy Spirit is going to impact that person. This afternoon, I was listening to Bob Jones. And this meeting was done quite a few years ago. But he pointed out something. He says, when are you going to wake up and use the authority that you have? He said the other day he had some depressing thoughts and his emotions were starting to go into depression. So he said, wait a minute, your lies, I am not receiving today. He said, but I didn't go on the phone asking for help. I knew I had the authority to say to depression, be gone. I'm not listening to your thoughts in Jesus' name. I thought that was pretty cool. You see, some of us, let's say, function because we've trained ourselves in certain ways, just like I did for years, and then we try to duplicate to get the same results. Coming from my sister on the top there, she knows about that box. This box can get you into trouble. I've seen God's grace come and do something that someone else did and duplicate it, and God gave me grace and he gave me a victory. Try it again a few weeks later, zero. Why? Because he was waiting for me to get instructions from him. It goes right back to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself or to do what he felt like he could do on his own. He waited for the Father. He waited for instructions from the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's what God is trying to make us all do. We're heading into a place that I don't think we've ever been before. It's going to be challenging. You may not be dependent on each other as much as you have been, because he's going to stretch each and every one of us. But when we're together, the wholeness of the group has an immense capability to do a work that is so awesome that it will shatter your mindsets about your future. So, verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. You say, well, how deep does that really go? I can remember, I would say 1987, and there was a new church that opened up on Route 5 in West Springfield. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I had a couple of people that were part of Grace at the time, and they had a beautiful business, Christian bookstore, accommodation, gift shop. It was very, very nice. Wonderful couple. And so they had called me and said, would you like to come with me? So I checked with the Lord, and the Lord said, yeah, it would be nice if you went. So I did. I'm not going to say it wasn't nice. It was a lot of celebration. The music was very nice, et cetera, et cetera. But there was something weird that I didn't understand. So I came home, and the next day I talked to my pastor. And he said, Kim, I've heard quite a bit about what's going on over there. He said, what was your discernment? I said, well, you know, it was nice up here. But in my heart, there was something off center. So Peggy, you probably can relate to this, and so can Gail. He sits back in his chair and he's rubbing his tummy. He says, Kim, your discernment, it's working. So I said, my discernment? It was a new term for me. He said, yep, I talked to the Lord about that guy. I said, you did? Yep, talk to the Lord. That place is going to crash and it won't be long. And now my judgmental mind goes into full cycle. How does he know? But I remembered. So I talked to the Lord about that guy. So he said, when you go back, he didn't say if you go back, when you go back, check in with me. So a few weeks later, Royal Cronquist was invited to be the main speaker at that church. I went with a friend. I wanted to see what was going to happen. I was so distraught that I left there weeping. Because when the prophet of the Lord from Oregon, excuse me, Washington State at the time, prophesied in that church, he was told to leave and insulted bluntly. I watched him leave and he was weeping. I followed him to the parking lot. I gave him a hug. He said, pray for me and pray for the saints that are here. I said, I will. The following day, I didn't really sleep that much. I went back to talk to Pastor and I explained, he says, Kim, it won't be much longer. You can't insult God's anointed, because he had already met Royal. He knew he was a man of the Lord. And they had communicated quite a bit together. That was their private conversation. But what this did for me was to awaken to me the ability of the person who is under the anointing to run to the Holy Ghost to get instruction. Not to go by hoopla's and how happy everybody was and how the dancing was going on in the middle of the church, et cetera, the music and the musicians, they were all worship. I believe it was roughly 3 months later, the pastor took off with his secretary and moved down south. About 80% of the people never went back to church. The man that had asked me and invited me, who had his business, called me for an appointment. He sat in my office and he's talking to me about how broken he was and how it was such a wonderful experience. And every exhale, I could smell the pot. This was a man that was roughly 50 years old at the time. So I confronted and I said, if it was so wonderful, why are you using pot to feel better? Oh, well, I used it because it's available and I don't know if I can trust God again. What am I saying? When we're childish, we're going to have childish reactions. Can we grow up from it? Yes, we can. Why am I saying this to you? Because I believe that you're mature enough to be able to say to the Lord in the future, what is of God and what is not of God, and where and what do I do about it? How do I go forward so that I don't fall back into a childish attitude? See, St. Paul was warning the Corinthians, but he was trying to get them to mature and wake up. And all of us, I believe, are doing that exact reason. That's why you're on tonight. Because this is not an easy message to give, but it's also a necessary message so that we don't get caught by fluff. You know, fluff looks good, smells good, might be wonderful on whipped cream, but in reality, you ain't got much substance. Once you take the air out, there's not much there for food. There's a lot of fluff out there in churches. And I'm not accusing. That's not the point. But those that are full of fluff, when the heat comes on, it's going to disintegrate. And when it does, those that are carnally minded may walk away from Christ. They may walk away from the Lord, just like this man did. And went back to his old habits. What am I saying this for? If I can declare that I have the mind of Christ, I have the mind of the Anointed One, and I can get more information from the Lord than I can from a book or a person or even the Bible. The Bible is there to confirm the word. Many people use it the other way around. They use it as a tool to destroy and control. It's not the Lord. So I rest my case today. My prayer is, and if you'll put your hand in your heart, you'll be in agreement with me. Holy Spirit, tonight, there's a need for maturity in all of us and how we act and react and respond. And tonight, I'm asking for your Holy Spirit to download information that each of us needs according to your riches and glory. For we do not want to act and react from selfish motivation, from judgmental or criticalness, but to see those that are of you and to recognize those that are of you and for you, that they will not fail. And that gift of the mind of the Anointed is mine in Christ Jesus by faith. It'll develop more and more as I go forward, persevering, so that my inner heart will be more than confirming what is of you and what is not of you, what is prophesied from you and what is prophesied from those with their own agenda.